Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Chairs No Waning, episode number 748, Otis in studio. Two Chairs No Waning is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up some new stuff like we just got in, the 2024 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. That's right, you can go pick up one right now, get them before they're gone. You don't want to miss those. While you're there, you might want to pick up some Miracle Salve. You know, it's summer, your hands are drying out. Get you some Miracle Salve. It's good for everything, according to Dr. UT Pendyke. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waning is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 748 is Bob and Pat Mundy. I should say R, Bob and Pat Mundy. And the Patreon patron of the week is Mike McGonigal. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, and wow, we've got something that has never happened on the podcast other than having my wife here. We have Otis Ken Junkin here in studio with me, and this is a treat because I really don't usually get to have people here. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get to hear some of the stories that Ken's experienced being Otis over the. A lot of years since he's been doing it. I don't know if we want to talk about how long it's been.
It's been about 28 years.
Yeah. So, wow.
Thank you for having me as your guest. Usually the only guest appearance I get to make is at the courthouse. So this is a big treat.
So Kenneth and I, we drive around all the time. He usually is the driver. And believe it or not, Otis does the driving. You guys have probably seen videos here on the podcast, if nothing else, or posted on the Facebook and places of us. So we have a great time just visiting and talking with one another. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I really appreciate you taking time to do this.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me. So I feel honored.
Well, so Kenneth, when did you start doing Otis? When was that?
I think it was in 95 at a local Lions Club meeting in my hometown of Gordo. They had heard that I'd been dressing up like Otis, and they knew that I was a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show. And I went down, and we talked a little bit about the show, and I told a few jokes, and it's just kind of grown from there. I didn't do too many appearances the first few years, but then all these great Mayberry events came up, and been so fortunate to be involved as Otis at several events.
Yeah. Well, I know David Browning, who used to do Barney, he's retired since and has joined times with his family and his grandkids and everything. But I know David, at many events we went to, would call you That's Otis, right. Even when Kenneth would work security.
Yes.
And David called you Otis all the time. And
right.
So did you start dressing up because he was doing that?
Well, when I first started going to Mayberry events, I was asked to, you know, one of my first ones was Don Knotts security and host, and what a thrill that was. But I thought I'd kind of, I wasn't necessarily dressing like Otis, but I got one of the old straw fedora, Panama fedoras, like so many of the characters wore in Mayberry, and like my grandfather wore. And
yeah.
I said, well, I'll get one of those. And but, you know, it looked appeared as Otis. And like you say, David called me Otis everywhere, even on the stage and when we were eating or whatever. Yeah. So it kind of stuck on me.
Well, I can remember really well, at least in my mind. I seem to remember when you first started, because I remember you just showed up, really.
Yeah.
One of the Mayberry events. I don't remember if it was probably Mayberry Days.
I think I don't remember. Yeah.
But I just remember you showing up in that whole Otis outfit, you know, with the Seersucker's jacket and everything, and just grinning and standing there with your chest out, looking like Otis.
Gene Reeves, Mount Airy, a good friend of all of us. Heath, I couldn't find a seersucker that would fit me, and he ordered one special for me. And actually, he's ordered, I've got three from him, bless his heart, and he asked me if I needed another one. But Otis wears that seersucker and a signature tie.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And the Panama hat.
The worst tie you can find is usually, I know our buddy Norm has given you several ties.
He brought me dozens and dozens from CBS Wardrobe from way back. They're perfect for Otis.
So you started doing Otis and getting to you had already been very active in all these events and doing lots of stuff. And then you started doing Otis. What's some of your memories, like the first some memories?
Well, before I did Otis, me and five of my buddies from work heard about where we're doing a big Mayberry reunion at the Opryland. And we said, oh, we got to go to that. And Don Knotts was there, Hal Smith, Betty Lynn, the Darlings, so many of the, of course, Ron and Andy wasn't there, but many of the others were. And we were so excited. It was Sunday afternoon, a 2 o'clock matinee, and then a 7 o'clock that night. So we got there for the 2 o'clock show. It was great. I mean, you were there, but I didn't know you then. So many people I've met were there, but I didn't know you. And Don Knotts came out in his uniform, and I looked around, and almost every person close had tears in their eyes. I mean, it brought tears the first time they'd actually seen Don. But anyway, after the show was over, it was great. We went and got in Don Knotts' line because they signed autographs. And it was long. I mean, long. And we heard rumors that they were going to have to cut Don's line off because he had to go to dinner with the whole group and then be back for the 7 o'clock show. And of all things, the security come walking by a few feet and they stopped just to our right. And one of the my valuable friends who will do anything went running over. They were maybe 25, 30 feet from us, and he put his arm around one of the security guys, and all of a sudden, all the security guys, and hey, they turned and looked at me, and then they moved on about 50 feet behind us and cut the line off. This is a true story, and my friend came over, and I said, what did you tell him? He said, well, I told him that we had just got you out of a mental hospital, and if you didn't get to meet Don Knotts, we could not control you. So they walked. So that's how I got to meet Don Knotts. True story. And also after we got to meet, I got to meet Hal Smith for a few seconds before we got in line, or after they broke it up. And I said, "Hey Otis, I got your dog, his invisible dog." He left his security and came over and reached and got it and made it do some tricks and made it jump on the bus with. So that was quite a day. That was kind of my first Mayberry event. And then I was lucky enough to work Don's security at three other events before I started doing Otis. Wow. And that was kind of.
Yeah, I was at that event. It was in, I think, 91, 92?
91, I believe 91? It was. Yeah.
At Opryland, when it was still Opryland.
Yes, yes. And it was both shows were sold out.
Because David Browning, speaking of him earlier, was there. The first time we ever saw him, I was just in the audience like you. I didn't know you. And there's this guy that shows up on the stage, and we knew it wasn't Don, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But he was dressed up like Barney.
We said, he looks just like
Barney. Oh, his mannerisms and everything. There he was. So that was my first experience with him, which I didn't know him.
I didn't either.
Or anything. But, it's amazing we were both at this event and didn't know each other.
And like I say, I've talked to so many that I've met at Mayberry, especially Mayberry Days, that were also there.
Yeah. Well, in 93, speaking of that, in 93, Jan and I went to Mayberry Days for the first time.
Yeah.
And the Hearty Eating Men and Beautiful Delicate Women chapter, which is Kenneth's chapter.
In Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club, was in the parade.
Yes.
Now, so Jan and I were standing there, and my chapter here in Huntsville is Mother Figure.
Yeah.
So it's a mother figure. And we were standing there and had T-shirts on that said mother figure. Yeah. And here comes these guys riding in and ladies riding in the back of a truck, a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And they saw us. I'm going, hey, Tuscaloosa. And they're going, hey, Huntsville.
Yeah, I remember
that's how we met.
Exactly.
And we ended up talking afterwards. And and man,
ever since,
it has been amazing getting to know you. We went to Mule Days in Gordo. after Mayberry Days. Mayberry Days is in September. Mule Days is in early June. For sure. And David Browning was going to be there. So Jan and I, we headed, yes. you know, the three and a half hours or so down to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
To the Gordo area.
Yeah.
To see David and everything. And that's where... we went out to eat after that event was over, and that's where I was talking like Floyd the Barber.
Yeah.
He said, do it. Well, wasn't just talking like Floyd. We were doing lines from the show.
Yeah, we were.
We were all sitting around laughing and telling lines from the show, quoting the Andy Griffith Show. And that's when I said, hey, do you see what it says on the side right out there? Bobby Gribble hates MLRs.
And I remember David said, you need to start doing Floyd. That's where you really got your start right there.
Yeah, that's where I got started. So then he got me to come to Mayberry Days. Well.
Yeah.
And then it was in Gordo. Yeah, Gordo. That was in 94.
Yep.
And it was the next year was when you started
I did my first really appearance as Otis at a – Lions Club.
Yeah, so 95.
I didn't do too many just the first few years, but it's picked up since.
Right.
Yeah.
And wow, what a ride we've had.
Oh, man.
I mean, oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Because we're just big fans of the Andy Griffith Show. Kenneth is the – he's in a documentary that – did it ever get released?
Yeah, well, they showed it. Unfortunately, when Andy passed away, they showed some of it. A Canadian company bought it. it was an honor. They had – it was because I was voted the number one show fan of the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, yeah. So they followed you around.
They followed. They wrote. They were from all over New York. Bruce Weinstein. I stay in touch with him. Mm-hmm. Him and his cameraman and producer. They came down and rode with me in my van from in Tuscaloosa, and they rode all the way up to Mount Airy and back with me.
Wow.
And followed me around. And I've never seen the whole, but I'd love to.
Yeah. So he was the number one fan of the Andy Griffith Show. I know some of you listening or watching this, you're going to disagree that he's the number one fan.
I understand that.
You can be the number one fan too. Yeah.
We can share it.
Yeah. I don't know that there's actually a location where the records are kept is who is the number one fan.
Yeah.
But that's how Kenneth kind of got to do some of this stuff. And man, but we have had such a good time. Oh, yeah. We got to meet so many cast members.
Yes.
If you got another story.
Well, you know, I was able to be Don Knott's security and driver. And he was such a nice guy. He was not Barney when he was in my van, or he was Don Knott's. And but you could see him turning into Barney. Yeah. You could just see him. And I remember in Elizabethton, Tennessee, I was kind of his security, and there was nearly 1,400 people at that. It sold out, and he sat up there on the stage after the show and signing autographs. He had signed two items, one or two. He wouldn't sign more than two, but he didn't charge anything. And I stood there. I had extra Sharpies for him and water, and was standing by his side while he was signing. And he stayed there, and this one lady was the last one in line. And he had sat there the whole time. And she just thanked him so much. She said, I was afraid that she'd leave before I got. He said, oh, no, I try to sign them all. And, of course, back then, this was before cell phone, many people wanted me to take their picture. Because I was, and I did, I probably took 300 or 400 pictures of folk. And she asked me if I'd take a picture. Every time he'd take his glasses off, and that same smile, first one and last one was the same. And she said, I know you get tired. This flash bothers you. And he said, well, not really. Only thing that bothers me after all these pictures, it turns my white shirts yellow. So that was his comment. In Ohio, I had him driving around in my van. I had other guys with me. There was three of us, and then there were eight deputies that kind of helped. Because he was kind of like Elvis Presley to Mayberry fans. Right. Now I'm telling you, and I began to talk to him some. You know, you didn't, and I told him how much I loved the episode of Dr. Pendyke and
Dr. UT Pendyke,
and with the miracle save, and he's trying to he all of a sudden went into his whole dialogue. I'm Dr. UT Pendyke, smiling. He did the whole thing. And I've told his daughter Karen, and she put that in her book which was a thrill.
Yeah, that is really cool. So, yeah, because I knew she had quotes from you in there and stuff.
But, you know, working security, people were pretty calm, but we had some that just wanted to touch him and hand him bullets. They would hand him bullets. They'd hand me bullets and say, will you hand? He told me he had a dresser drawer full of bullets at home. He said, what do you do with them? And he got a handful and up in Bob Shives, and he threw a handful in a rose bush. So, you know, that's amazing. But it was a blessing to me. It's so great to get to meet and work with him. And you've introduced him and been on stage with him. And, you know, it was just almost a dream.
Yeah.
And others too, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know you and Betty Lynn,
we were there. She's been to my house twice. She wouldn't let me tell her neighbors, and I understand that. She just wanted to visit. We were really good friends, and she wrote to me quite a bit. I took her to her first Cracker Barrel, and she loved it. In fact, in my hometown, Gordo, or Tuscaloosa, she signed an 8x10, and they hung it right behind the hostess desk. And it was there for years. And
well, yeah, that's big.
Oh, yeah. She loved it. And but she was so sweet, so genuine. And the second time she came to my house, she remembered all my nieces and nephews, my sister and brother-in-law, all their names and what they did, remembered it. And I was so impressed with that. But she was truly amazing.
She could remember. She would literally remember people that had gone through her autograph lines.
Oh, yes.
And remember their names.
Exactly.
I was always amazed. You know, I was always, I've told this story before, you know, I was always like, every time I meet any of the cast members or anybody like that, I reintroduce myself.
Yeah, me too.
I did, especially earlier, you know, back in the 90s. Yeah. I did it all the time. I remember, I've told this before, I believe, on the podcast. I was introducing myself to Betty again. I said, Betty, I'm Alan. She goes, I know who you are, Alan. How are Jan and Adam?
Yes. Yes.
It's like, but, you know, she was just so sweet. Like
She was genuine, too. And so many of the cast members really were. Eleanor Donahue, Maggie. Oh, Maggie was sweet. And Mary Grace Canfield, who played Mary Grace.
Oh, yeah. Tell that story.
This is a great story. Mary Grace had never been to a Mayberry event. And I picked her up at the Dayton, Ohio airport, same place I had Don Knotts and others. There was a Mayberry squad car rendezvous up there. Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah, the squad car rendezvous.
Squad car rendezvous.
So if anybody doesn't know, Mary Grace is obviously Mary Grace from the Gomer Pyle.
The date episode.
Where
she was best known as Ralph the Painter on Green Acres, and she did a lot of Disney movies. Right. But anyway, I picked her up at the airport, and she was so concerned. She asked me what was going on. I told her about the signing autographs. She said, nobody will know who I am. And I said, oh, yes, they will. And she said, well, I'm just so concerned. And I said, that's one of our favorite episodes. Right. She said, I had never seen that episode of Jim Clark sent me a VHS back then.
Oh, wow.
And she said, Barney, call me a dog. She didn't know that. And I said, well, that was the writers, you know. But anyway, we got outside there under a big tent, about 25 feet long, about 12 feet wide. And she was very slow and deliberate and smiled to all her fans. And she was, like I say, she was concerned nobody would know who she was. And about 30 minutes after she started signing, she looked all the way out the end of the tent. Her line went out the end of the tent and turned to our left and went all the way behind another building. There was probably 200 or 300 people. And she looked at me and said, are all those people in line for my autograph? And I said, they sure are. And she just broke down. She stood up and turned her back and just cried like a baby. She was so concerned and then so overtaken and happy that she had that many people wanting her autograph. I said, I told you. Right. And that was really neat to meet her. And she moved to Maine. They moved all the way from Hollywood to Maine, her and her husband did.
Yeah, I guess we met her twice.
Yes. I think
Joel Laird's event in Birmingham, Alabama.
It was cold that night.
Yeah.
And real quick, 180 degrees from Mary Grace was Sue Ann Langdon. Now, Sue Ann was one of the prettiest girls ever on the Andy Griffith Show. She was a nurse. Mary, the blonde-headed, where Marnie kept barging in on where Andy was trying to court her and
teach her to play a guitar
and play the bongo drums. And that's who were Sue Ann. Well, I picked her up at the same date in the airport, her and her husband, who was a big producer in Hollywood. I didn't know him. I mean, but that's what I heard. And picked him up, and she got in the back seat of my SUV, and he got in the front, and he was so excited. And, was telling about what was going on. I was driving down Interstate 70 east of Dayton going to Bradford, I think, area, Ohio, little town there. And he said, "Honey, hand me your binder and let me show him your pictures." She was in two Elvis movies and with Sean Connery and many other movies and some other TV shows, but only one Andy Griffith show. And I'm driving down Interstate, and here's her husband showed me her pictures, and he turns to the back, her Playboy picture, and says, "What do you think about this, Ken?" And I look over, "What do you tell the husband who's showing you his wife's Playboy?" So, and she said, "Honey, he don't want to see that." And he said, "The heck he don't want to see it." And I'm trying to stay on the interstate. This is a true story. And he said, "Would you like her to sign you one?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." You don't tell them no.
Well, you're just trying to be polite.
Oh, yeah, I was being polite.
I understand that.
Yeah, well, anyway, we go and sit down, start signing autographs, and it gets lunchtime. And Sue Ann asked me if any place around I could get them a couple of turkey sandwiches. And I said, "Well, I know there's a deli and a mom and pop grocery store." So I went and I had two left. I brought them back. We go inside and eating, and I'm sitting there with them. I said, "Did you get a chance to sign one of those?" "Oh, honey, give me one." "You sold them all. We don't have any more. I'll mail you one." But she never mailed me one. But not long after that, the internet come out, and I found it online.
Well, you know, I know why you're – I mean, just look at the artwork there. Oh, look at the quality of that photography. Look at that ribbon on her leg.
She had that ribbon on
her toe.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah, and
I mean, it was I understand.
Quality background. I mean, it was
– so, yeah, that's a little awkward. That is a little awkward situation.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite Mayberry, but it is.
Yeah.
Because Barney had the magazine.
He did.
Look at the ribbon.
That's right.
So it is. But wow. And she was very nice as
very,
well.
Very nice.
She was a very nice lady. Yeah. I think maybe one time, so have we met her more than once?
I think that was it. I can't remember another time.
But she was really nice lady at the squad car rendezvous.
Right, in Ohio.
In Ohio. Yeah.
And so. I got to drive them around, and Eleanor Donahue was very, very sweet person also.
Now, Eleanor's son, Peter, he's in our chat room almost every week. Not every week, but he's on here with us. Miss Ellie's boy in the chat room. So if you guys don't know about the chat room, on most every week, the show is recorded live on Monday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And there's people in the chat rooms, both on, go to live.2chairsnowaiting.com, or you can go over to YouTube or Facebook. There's people in chat rooms basically talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And Peter is always in the live.2chairsnowaiting. Well, not always, but a lot. He's in there a lot. So Miss Eleanor.
Yeah. She started out young, like Shirley Temple, had the same manager. As Shirley Temple. Her mother wanted her to be another Shirley Temple. She was great, but she told us she had some issues during her time on the Andy Griffith Show with family and a young child, and was telling us about that. And, of course, you couldn't tell it by watching. And she was so nervous about singing in the Christmas episode.
Yes.
And she talked to us about that, how Andy got her to get on her knees and relax, and she was great.
Yeah, she sat down, I think, on a step or something. Andy just started playing, and then she sang, and then it was over.
Yeah.
They recorded it while she was doing that. So that's a great story. We usually talk about that, I think, during the Christmas time frame. I usually tell that story.
And Maggie Peterson, oh, my gosh, the first time I met her was and she grabbed me and gave me a kiss. First time, and I said, "Ooh,
well, y'all got
like
to marry.
Her, huh?
Y'all had to marry
well,
then.
You
know, Gomer,
right.
Gomer's parents
just shook hands on their deal.
Yeah.
But she was great, very, very special. And she was genuine, a sweet, talented lady. We've been around her many times. And she's been to my house. And But let me tell you a story about her. She came down to help us with a big fundraiser for Eagles Wings, like Betty and Keith Thibodeau and other. Eagles Wings is for special needs adults after they get out of the public school system, autism and other issues. And my classmate and buddy Jerry Pike and his wife started because their son, it's been great.
And it's Eagles Wings of Tuscaloosa. Eagles Wings of
Tuscaloosa. Yes. Betty and Maggie both came down and helped us with our dinner and auction and show. Well, this particular year was 2011. And then on April 11th, 4/27/11, we had the tornado. It hit my house, did a lot of damage, killed 58 in Tuscaloosa. It destroyed a huge section close to the University of Tuscaloosa. Picked her up to Birmingham Airport, and as we drove by the tornado damage, she just broke down and just cried. Mm. She was so upset because she knew how many people lost their lives, and so she was really concerned about the damage and the folks that were affected by the tornadoes. Right. She was that caring, her and Betty and Maggie. And Gene Carson was great. We had a good time with Gene Carson.
I'm sorry, Ken. I think you dropped some names on the floor. Hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, no.
Oh, I'll pick them up. But
I mean, look at what we've had Jackie Joseph. I mean, there's just so many of these guys. But I have noticed another pattern you've been going through here. How many ladies from the Andy Griffith Show have been to your house?
I just started to learn about that. Three, I think.
Oh, well. I'm pretty sure nobody listening can claim that. No. So congratulations.
I think that's a record.
That is. That's the number one fan of the Andy Griffith Show right here. There you go.
But haven't mentioned this guy, but my best friend my favorite is George Goober Lindsay. He was so close to me and Alan. He called us both, spent a lot of time with him. He got a scholarship football at what is now University of North Alabama. It was Florence State's teacher school back in the 50s when he was a quarterback up there. Well, after I met George, I told him I was from Gordo, Alabama, and he didn't even know where that was, but it was very close to his hometown of Jasper, just south of there. We got to talking, and I told him I was offered a scholarship at UNA to play football by Coach Hal Self. He said, "Hal Self offered you a scholarship?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He offered me a scholarship." I said, "I had no idea he was there for 25 years." Wow. Coach George was a little older than me, but we both were offered scholarships. I didn't take it, but we became really close after that, and we found out we knew a lot of people together from the university because he went there too some. And I had lunch with Dr. Gary White today. He was assistant athletic director under Coach Bryant, him and Bill McDonald, who was a trainer for years. And Gary would bring George in to work their banquets. And he was in charge of that. So that's how I met Gary White. Had lunch with him today. And they were both good friends with George. And like I say, me and you were real close to him. We would help with his film festival, still do. And he would call me, would give me a new joke and try it out. If I didn't laugh, he got upset about it. Sometimes I missed his punchlines. But him and Ernest Borgnine were very good friends.
Yeah.
You want to tell a story about Ernest Borgnine's life?
No.
Since I'm talking so much.
You can tell. No, this is, well, I talk every week.
Okay, well, Ernest Borgnine and George Lindsay were very good friends. And Ernie came down to George's film festival a couple of times, and I was always there, me and Alan. We kind of helped with the film festival. And this particular one, Ernie and Gary Wiedemeyer was there, a big neighbor. Mm-hmm. And they invited us to go to dinner after the award show from the film festival. Ernie said, he made us call him Ernie. I called him Mr. Borgnine, but he got upset and said, "Call me Ernie." He said, "We're going to have dinner after this at my favorite restaurant." Now, here he is from Beverly Hills, all out there, and his favorite restaurant is Waffle House. And he said, "My wife won't let me eat at Waffle House home." So we went to Waffle House there in Florence, and he bought our dinner. Me and Gary sat at the counter, and the president of the university in Georgia and Ann Wilson sat in a booth behind us. And we talked and laughed and cut up just like me and Alan do, traveling. He was just nice as he could be.
Oh, he was. So super.
And I told him one of my favorite movies, and I wasn't kidding, was Marty that he did. And he won an Academy Award over Frank Sinatra, Jimmy Cagney, and several other big-time actors. He was still a rookie. He was a butcher. If anybody hadn't seen it, you need to watch. Look at Marty. I won't go into long details, but he was a bachelor, and he lived with his mother, and he's about 30 years old, and he met this wonderful girl. But when he called a friend, or a friend of a friend, to ask for a date, he went in and closed himself up in a little area, and he got on and called, and she turned him down, and his face, you could just see the agony. And I told him how real that was. I said, and he said that kind of helped him win the award.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, how did you do? He said, I did the same thing when I was in high school and got turned down. He said, I've thought about all those girls that turned me down for dates. And he was so real. I said, hey, I know what you mean. I've been there, done that. But he really just,
yeah.
And that's, wow. It's a good movie for guys and gals. It's really neat. And Sergeant Carter was in there.
Yeah. Well, what's cool is, I mean, you got to meet Ernest Borgnine because your relationship with George Lindsay.
Right.
And it was same with me. I've got a picture at my office at work of me cutting Ernest Borgnine's hair.
I've seen that. Yeah, that's cool.
People walk in and they look and they see that. Is that you?
Yeah.
Is that? That looks like Ernest Borgnine. That is Ernest Borgnine. They're going, no way are you cutting Ernest Borgnine's hair.
And so, George didn't have anything to do with this, but we met Barbara Eden up at Mayberry Days. Yeah. Wow, that was special.
Yeah. Yeah,
but she,
nature's been awful good to her.
I'm telling you, man. She was very popular up there.
And we've just had so many opportunities to meet people. And I wish, as a fan of the Andy Griffith Show, I wish everybody get to do that. This is the thing I've been really talking about this a lot on the podcast lately. I really wish folks would try to go to Mayberry Days or go to one of the Mayberry events. Mayberry Comes to Scottsburg is a good one. Yes. The Mayberry Meetup we just had recently.
Very good.
There's just so many events like that where you can. Well, I mean, a lot of the cast members are no longer with us, so you're not going to meet a lot of them right now, but you'll meet some of the greatest people, because, I mean, we've been talking about the cast members, but we could also talk about just fans that we have met over the years.
That's my favorite part of being in this, is the fans and the friends that I've met.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you and David and Christy and Briscoe and Tim, I don't want to leave anybody out, but all the tribute artists are special people, very special people.
Well, and then just there's a ton of people that just come to these events that are just friends, that are fans.
Right.
Just, and by fans, we don't mean fans of us or the tribute artists. We mean fans of the Andy Griffith Show.
Right.
That it is a real pleasure to get to meet and see all these people and just to spend time with them. I know that sounds really corny, but I think you would really enjoy it if you enjoy this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we're pretty deep into the Mayberry lore, I would say, more than a normal casual viewer of the show, probably. But I hope what you're hearing from Ken and me when I speak, too, but is just that we're kind of in awe that we have been able to do
absolutely
all these things, get to meet Don Knotts and Betty Lynn and Eleanor Donahue and James Best. I mean, we haven't even talked about half of the people we've met over the years, but it's been a lot of years too. I mean, this is not recent.
Keith Thibodeau was great. He was Johnny Paul Jason. We've got to do a lot with him, and he's really great.
And I think he's going to be at Mayberry Days this year.
Yes, I think so. His band, the Giants.
Yeah, they're going to be there.
Can't wait to see
them. So definitely think about coming to Mayberry Days.
Yeah. Well, you get to see some of the cast members, tribute artists, but the town of Mount Airy is Mayberry.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't expect it to look just like Mayberry, but the feeling, I think, it's the heart of it is what you'll like.
And
have you got any other stories?
Yeah, real quick. You were with me, and we both were invited over to Altoona, and Donna Douglas was there, Ellie Mae. And we got to meet and talk to her, and I invited her to Mule Days, and she agreed to come. Ellie Mae, I mean, me and probably 99% of my buddies my age, we had a crush on her, Ellie Mae from Beverly Hillbillies. And she said she would come. She came to Mule Days, and her line at Little Gordo, Alabama, her line to get autographs never stopped. And she couldn't even get in the parade. She didn't want to leave any of her fans, which I appreciated that. But we got to have dinner with her after, and with me and Alan and David Browning and some of the this was sponsored by the Gordo Chamber of Commerce. And she was just and she wanted to try chicken livers and was eating. We were giving her food that we hadn't touched. She's trying. And she met we were talking about Eagle's Wings of Tuscaloosa. She met Jerry Pike and Sandra, the founders, and their son, who is the – I guess you could say the subject of
the inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration.
For starting Eagle Swing.
Yeah, because they said, what's he going to do when we're gone?
Right.
And she met him, and he's very, I don't know, there's something called McDonald Smith syndrome. He can't talk, but he could smile and laugh. And Donna fell in love with him, like a lot of people do. And we told her the story about Eagle's Wings. I'm on his board, and Alan has been down many times to help us with fundraisers. And she told me, she said, I want to come back when you have your fundraiser for Eagle's Wings. I will not charge you. I'll pay my flight. I'll pay for my hotel, my eats, and I'll make a donation to Eagle's Wings. And she said, I mean that. And she said, I want to come back to Mule Days, and I want to join you and David and Alan at these Mayberry events. She mentioned that about four times the day she left, which was an honor to us. And she would call me about every 3 weeks after that, about 11 o'clock at night, Donna Douglas. And we would talk for about an hour just about different things, about her growing up, riding a mule to her grandmother's house, and how she went straight to New York after she graduated high school and struggled through a lot of producers that tried to take advantage of her, and she finally got and was doing Lilt permanent commercials. If y'all remember your grandmother, Lilt permanents.
Oh my goodness.
And she was the spokesmodel. She would walk out live at some of these, but she, you see where she ended up, and then she got into real estate and then moved back. And she said, after the last time I talked to her was in November of 2014. And she said, Kenneth, I'm going to be visiting my daughter in South Dakota on Thanksgiving and Christmas. You call me the second Tuesday in January of 2015, and let's get the dates of Eagle's Wings and your Mayberry events and Eagle's Wings fundraiser. And I said, I sure will. Merry Christmas, all that. Well, January 1st, 2015, Tammy Sullivan called me and said, have you heard that Donna Douglas died last night? I said, no. No. And she said, well, we're not sure. I just got up, hadn't even turned my TV on. I turned it on and the news, and I looked on Facebook, couldn't hear anything. And I called our buddy Jeff Branch, who does Howard Sprague, a tribute artist. He knew the folks in North Carolina that did her book and her kids' records. And I called him. He didn't know, but he called them, and he called me back and said, yeah, she died. I had pancreatic cancer. And a few days later, I had her publicist number that she had gave me after, and I called her to see what happened, and she said she had been complaining about some severe stomach pain for a long time, and I don't know how much long. And she finally went to the doctor, and she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and lived 2 weeks after that.
Wow.
And it just killed me. I was so looking forward to working. We all were. How special that would have been.
But I know either that fall or summer before that, she had got to go. She went to Mount Airy.
She did. She called me and told me.
Betty Lynn was doing autographs,
exactly.
She went and signed autographs at the museum with Betty.
That's right.
So she wanted to meet Betty Lynn.
Yes.
as well. So yeah, Donna, I just hate that that happened because she was so nice. When Kenneth had her there in Gordo, I was riding around with him, obviously, and we went to pick her up to go eat. And she was staying at a cabin, and I went and sat down because she wasn't ready, so I was still dressed like Floyd. I went and sat on the swings. It was a porch swing on the cabin. I sat down in it, and I was sitting there, and we were waiting on her, and she came walking out and sat down in the porch swing with me, and we were just swinging. I was talking. I didn't – at some point during that swinging on that, I realized – I am sitting on the front porch swing with Ellie Mae Clampett.
Oh, it don't get no better than that.
She was such a nice lady. So many of these, we're talking about people from not just the Andy Griffith Show. These are other classic TV folks that we're talking about. And we have been very fortunate to get to meet them. And, you know, it's just been, you're fans of a lot of things.
Yeah,
I mean, I like Star Trek, and I don't get to hang out with Star Trek cast members and stuff. We've been extremely fortunate. I hope you're enjoying hearing about this, because these are stories that we're just fans of all these people like you.
Exactly.
And we're hoping you can live through us just a little bit of the fun that it has been, and encourage you to just try to be a part of it with us.
Yes. You know,
excuse me,
Donna, when she makes an appearance, and she wants to stay the weekend, and on Sunday morning, she wants to speak to a local church. Mm-hmm. So I made first one I went to was the Methodist Church in Gordo, because they are very much involved with their building, and several of their members are on the chamber. And they said, oh, yeah, we would love to have her. She wanted to speak, and she was great. Well, after we ate dinner that night, after the porch swing, I took her back to the cabin, and she wanted me to go get some of her books and for the kids she could hand out at the church. And she had a nice trunk, and I'd load them up and put them in the back of my vehicle. And I asked her if she would sign my sister and a lady that I used to work with, one of her colored 8x10. She said, yeah. She signed them and laid them on the arm of the chair there in the living area, room area of the cabin. And so I took the trunk out, and I forgot the pictures. And I went out, I got into my Tahoe and started it up, and I heard this loud whistle. And I could see her. She didn't have a light on, but she was standing on front whistling. She said, you forgot your pictures. I said, Donna, was that you whistling on the Beverly Hills? She said, every time you heard me whistle, that was me. She said, that's how me and my mom used to stay. And my dad did the same thing. I mean, when he was growing. And she whistled so loud. Well, the next morning, I went to pick her up. And several women and girls have asked me after she came, and they found out I knew her and had worked with her. They wanted to know if she was wearing a wig. And I said, no, sirree. I know for a fact that was not a wig. How do you know? Because the Sunday morning I picked her up to go to church, she made me lift her hair up and check it and make sure it was okay. And it was not a wig. She had me checking her hair. I said, it's fine, Donna, fine. That's almost like a dream, all that happening and what we've got to do and meet all the great fans. And
well, and we've done things too. I mean, like just performing at Mayberry Days, we do Colonel Tim's. Yeah. Kenneth's come up with some great ideas over the years. We've done a bit where I stole Barney's pants because Barney always gets to introduce the opening acts and everything for the Colonel Tim's. And so we did this little routine where I stole his pants and I'm out there holding a pair of pants in my arms and Barney sticks his head through the through the thing, says, Floyd, have you seen my pants or something? And I said, well, Otis had stole his pants and Barney stole Otis's pants is what happened actually. And then so I've got this pair of pants in my arm and Barney's got these giant pair of pants.
Yeah. I stick my head out and say, yeah, you got Barney's pants. Well, he's got mine.
It's Otis that had them. I give them to Otis. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've gotten to do so many things like that over the years.
And the barbershop.
You did the Honeymooners. He's done, He's done Ralph Cramden.
Ralph Cramden.
Yeah, he's done his skipper on Gilligan's Island. Yep. He's done that with us on routines. Yeah. Folks, if you haven't been to one of these Mayberry events, I encourage it. If you haven't been to Colonel Tim's, of course, you never know. Yeah. But come to Colonel Tim's and enjoy yourself and just have a good time with us in Mayberry Days. You got anything else you want to sell, Kenneth?
No, I just appreciate it. And thanks to all of you out there. And thanks to Alan for doing this 748. I try to never miss. And it keeps things going. And we love to meet fans. And it's special to us.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been blessed. It's been a blessing that for so long that I've got to do this. And tomorrow we're doing a big car show right here in Huntsville at the Von Braun Center, huge car show. It's Floyd and Otis. So yep. We get to do special things, and I feel honored and blessed.
Yeah, it's a lot of things we get to do that are just really something I would have never expected.
Me either.
And, if you had told us when we were younger, Kenneth has said this before, we would never believe it, right?
I would have never believed. I would have been working with Don Knotts and Jim Nabors and George Lindsay and Betty Lynn and all of them, just and becoming friends with them. Now, Ernest T. Bass was a different story. Howard Morris, he was great. Tell him about the time you saved his life real quick. If you got
well, time. Yeah, that was it. That was at Joel Laird's event. Howard Morris was – Howard, if you've ever met Howard, he didn't particularly often like to share the stage with anybody or anything like that. He wanted to be center of attention. Right. I guess that'd be a way to put it. But he was nice enough, but he did that. But he was coming from the audience and going to walk up the stairs up the there at the theater. And it was concrete down there below the stairs.
Outside
at the amphitheater. And so I was backstage and saw him coming down through there. And I said, I feel like I need to go out there and just be at the top of the stairs. I really feel like I need to. Because,
yeah.
You know, and I knew he's going to yell at me. I just knew he was because what are you doing out here type thing. He was coming up those stairs and they were a little rickety.
Yes.
And when he was just close enough to the top, those things shifted just a little bit to the left. And I reached out and he reached out and grabbed my arm. We grabbed one another. I helped him up on the stage and, I was fortunate. I feel like God just put me there,
yeah,
honestly.
I think so.
And he thanked me for saving his life from then on because he would have fallen to that concrete. It was probably been about 8 feet down.
Yeah.
And he talked about it on John Boy and Billy.
Yeah,
I didn't hear it. But people that I work with were coming in and going, hey, Ernest T. Bass has been talking about you on John Boy and Billy.
Yeah.
So, but we've just – there's so many things like that.
At Mayberry in the Midwest, the first Mayberry in the Midwest – he was there backstage, and his pants fell off. Thank goodness he was backstage. He didn't tie his rope. And he was standing there by himself, and I went up and put my arm around him. I said, Howard Morris, I said, you don't know how much we appreciate you coming to Mayberry events and how much you add to it. He just started crying. I'd never seen that side of him. Yeah. I was serious because people loved him, even though you never knew what was going on. And he just started tears rolling down his eyes when I told him that. And that wasn't what I meant. Mm-hmm. I just was thanking him for coming like I tried.
Well, the thing that we always thought was amazing, so Howard, all he had to do was walk on the stage, literally, to get a standing ovation.
Oh, yeah.
All he had to do was walk out there and go, howdy do to you and you. It's me, it's me, it's Ernest T.
Yeah.
And the crowd would stand and cheer for minutes. I mean – it was like, it must be nice to be able to just walk out, say one or two lines, and everybody loves you.
Was he on four or five episodes? I know he was George, the TV man.
I think it's five.
Four is Ernest T. And they said they couldn't have any more because he overshadowed Andy and Barney. And you could see why.
Such a strong character. It'd be like Fonzie on Happy Days.
And he directed seven episodes, I believe. Yeah. Of the show.
Well, guys, we have been on here a long time tonight, so I hope you've enjoyed it. I am excited because I never get to have a guest. And, thanks so much to Ken.
Thank you for having me.
For agreeing to do this. This is a lot of fun for me. I hope you enjoyed it. Maybe we can get him back on here sometime like this. We we record little videos pretty often when we're traveling around. So those get played here. So hopefully you guys have all enjoyed it. Again, I would love to hear from you. You've been hearing from us talking for quite a while. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Let me know what you thought about the podcast. Tell Kenneth how great he is. Oh, yeah. How he's the number one fan. Or you can argue about that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You can also email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Drop by over at twochairsnowaiting.com if you can't remember any of that stuff. And there's lots of ways to contact me there. I would love to hear from you. Make plans to come to one of these Mayberry events and join us. I know Kenneth would love to see you. Otis and Floyd. Otis and Floyd will be there. Oh, he'll be glad to see you.
I'll be sober, but I'll get over it.
So you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.